Thank you, Rob. So I have this friend who is from the Chicago area who a few years ago decided that he was tired of the middle-aged softening of his body, if you know what I'm talking about. And so he decided to do something to get some exercise, to get back in shape, and he'd always been interested in the martial arts. So there was this storefront down the way that was advertising Taekwondo classes. So he went to the store, found the proprietor, explained his situation. I'd like to learn to do Taekwondo. The owner of the store pointed behind him to a place where students were going through their calisthenics in unison together. And the owner of the store, pointing back to them, said, "Do you see those students?" "Yes." "Go do what they're doing." There is, throughout the history of the Christian church, the living history of the church, we have before us men and women and children who have learned the powerful practices of the church. They have practiced them over and over and handed down to the church what they've learned from what they've done. What we're doing here in worship and Sunday mornings is learning from those who have gone before us, the powerful practices of the church. You may recall that back in the fall, we looked at the teaching of the Church of God, what we call the doctrine of the church. We're transitioning now to talk about the practices of the church. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the powerful practice of silence. And this morning, I'd like to talk about the powerful practice of prayer. Our text is these words that Rob read for us just a moment ago from the Gospel of John, the words of Jesus addressed to his disciples. Listen again to these words. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you." Here's the invitation of Jesus to his disciples: ask. It is so extraordinary and so exquisite, we may have to go back and look at the words again to see if he really said that, and he really did. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask." Now, there are a lot of things that prayer is, of course. Prayer is worship. Prayer is the expression of our gratitude. Prayer is a confession of our faults. Prayer is communion with the living God. But one of the things that prayer is most assuredly in Scripture is prayer is asking. Jesus makes this invitation to his disciples. I remember when I was in college, I was away from home for the first time all summer. I had gone away to Portland, Oregon to college. I was there through the summer working. Portland's a long way from where I'm from, Casper, Wyoming. So I was working and I was paying for my housing, and there came this time when there was too much month for the money. You know what I'm talking about? And so I don't remember how long it was. It felt like weeks. It was probably a couple of days. I ate what was left over in my apartment, rice and green beans. That's what I had, rice and green beans. As I look back on that story now, I almost laugh at that as a parent, because I know that had I placed a phone call to my parents, they would have said, "Why didn't you just ask?" Here's this extraordinary invitation of Jesus to his followers: ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Now, I want to let you in on something a little obvious that the church has at times forgotten. Jesus is talking about something that changes things. If that sounds a little too obvious, please forgive me. Jesus is speaking about something that changes things. Over the years, I've heard little comments from Christian people, little tidbits, that make me wonder if we really believe that. I've heard people say things like, "Well, if it's your day to go, it's your day to go," suggesting perhaps that everything is already predetermined and already set in stone. Or I've heard people say things like, "Well, if it's God's will," which is a wonderful phrase, but I sometimes wonder if what is behind those words is an assumption that the future is already fixed. And here is the extraordinary thing, or one of the many extraordinary things about the words of Jesus, is they are inviting us into something that really changes things. The future can be different if people learn to ask. And if you wonder right now if I'm being a heretic, Let me just remind you of our own scripture. Do you remember that wonderful story back in the book of Genesis when the Lord warns Abraham that the Lord is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because the towns have become so wicked, so evil, they've become so violent that the Lord is going to bring an end to them. And so the Lord warns Abraham that he's going to bring an end to Sodom and Gomorrah. And do you remember what Abraham does? Lord, would you destroy them if there were righteous people there? If there were 100 righteous, would you save the city? The Lord says, yeah, I'd save it for 100. Would you save it for 50? Yeah, I'd save it for 50. What about 20? And what we have here is a wonderful old story of bartering with Abraham, bartering with the Creator God about the work of what is taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. This isn't the only time. If you remember the wonderful story of the Exodus, where all of that begins is when God appears to Moses in a burning bush. Do you remember how the whole story starts? It begins with God saying, I've heard the groans of my people. I've heard the groans of my people. You see, what Scripture is suggesting to us is that our lives and our prayers influence God. Here's maybe my favorite story is the story of Jonah, the reluctant prophet. You probably remember the story, who is extraordinarily resistant to going to Nineveh and preaching the word of God to this foreign nation. But finally, with great arm twisting, you might say, Jonah finally agrees to go, and he brings the word of judgment against Nineveh, and the people of Nineveh, against what Jonah was hoping, repent of their sins. And the book of Jonah says, I'm not making this up, the book of Jonah says, God repented of the judgment that he was going to do to the people of Nineveh. God repented. You see, what we have in Scripture is not a picture of a future that is all laid out and tied down and cast in stone. What we have in Scripture is God who interacts with creation and God who is influenced by the lives and the prayers of God's people. Jesus said, ask. And I think he meant it. Now, you're probably a step ahead of me already. You have probably already noticed that there is a condition in this text that Jesus has given to his disciples. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will. If you abide in me. This is a condition that is also, by the way, an incredible invitation. Jesus is inviting disciples to abide in him the way a branch abides in the trunk, the way a branch abides in the vine. Jesus is inviting his disciples to abide in him the way a seed abides in the fertile soil. Here's an invitation to communion and union with Jesus Christ. It is an extraordinary and exquisite invitation. I wonder what would happen if the church took the words of Jesus as an invitation to an ongoing, authentic, unending communion with God through Jesus. This is the first condition that he points out to his disciples. If you abide in me, and the second one is, and my words abide in you. And what this means is that if the intentions, the mission, the purpose, the direction of Jesus is what the disciples themselves are also about, then they can ask whatever they want. And it will influence God the Creator. We need to step back for just a moment and remember what it is that Jesus is doing in John chapter 15. Jesus is forming disciples in John chapter 15. This is the part of the Gospel of John in which Jesus is speaking to a fairly small group, men and women, and his words are intended to form his purposes in this group of people. Jesus has just finished washing the feet of his disciples. This extraordinary moment when the Lord and Master and Teacher has knelt down and he's gone around the table and he's washed each of their feet. And then when he finished, he said, now if I, your Lord and your Master, have washed your feet, if I have served you, you also need to serve one another. This is the way Jesus is forming disciples. A different kind of people to live in the world, a different sort of community. This is Jesus who he's going to say to them, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. By this you will show all people that you are my disciples, that you love one another even as I have loved you. This isn't about liking each other. This isn't about having a few things in common. This is about a community of people who are challenged by Jesus to love one another as he has loved them. You see, Jesus is, in John chapter 15, he's forming disciples. And he's forming disciples to prepare them for the time when he will no longer be with them. This is important. See, in this part of the Gospel of John, the shadow of the cross is falling across everything that Jesus says. Shortly after this, he's going to be taken, he's going to be tried, he's going to be taken to the cross. The disciples, of course, are not going to understand at first what is taking place here. What appears to be absolute abysmal loss to them is in time going to become the way that they understand that the victory of God in the world has taken place. The shadow of the cross is already across the disciples as Jesus is sharing with them in this passage of Scripture. In time, they're going to come to understand that the cross of Jesus is the way that God has dealt with evil in our world. Instead of a cataclysmic explosion, God's decisive way of dealing with evil in the world is to surrender to it. Shortly, the disciples are going to see the deep, deep, deep suffering of Jesus. And then they're going to come to understand that it makes known the deep, deep, deep love of God in Jesus. And then they're going to begin to understand that as Jesus has taken on evil onto himself and surrendered to it, he has overcome it by the power of love. See, Jesus is preparing disciples and forming them. He is preparing them for the time when he will no longer physically be with them because the cross is coming. And Jesus is preparing them to carry on his mission in the world. This is crucial. He's preparing disciples to carry on his mission in the world. These words are not addressed to a bunch of consumers who are out to get as much from God as they possibly can. These words of Jesus are addressed to disciples whom he is preparing to carry on his mission in the world. Many of you have heard this question. It comes from, it's a wonderful question. What would Jesus do? I'd like to propose to you, though, that there's a better question than that. I think the better question is, what is Jesus doing? Because you see, the witness of the New Testament is that Jesus is raised, and shortly these disciples are going to come to understand that Jesus didn't just do something among them, he was still doing it. In his resurrection, he was working in them and with them and for them and through them. His mission was their mission. What he had been doing was what they would now be doing, and he was doing it alongside of them and with them, and the task of these disciples would be to learn how to walk in step with Jesus. They're about his mission, and in the Gospel of John, that mission is beautifully summed up in one word. In the Gospel of John, that mission is love. Love. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. By this, all men will know that you're disciples, that you love one another. No greater love has anyone ever had than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. All of these are the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. The singular mission of God through Jesus is love. So, I feel a little bit like that couple who, at the invitation of a friend, a written invitation of a friend, had gone to the opera. They were all dressed up in their most elegant clothing. They had this invitation with them, but they went to the wrong address, and as they walked into the building, they discovered that they'd not shown up for the opera. Instead, they'd shown up for the World Wrestling Federation. The husband looked at his wife and said, I think we better look at the invitation again. And I think we need to look at the invitation of Jesus again. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will. These are the words of the master to the disciples. These are the words of him who is on mission to those who are carrying his mission forward in the world, and the mission is love. I heard recently about this well-known business consultant who was asked to speak at West Point to some of the trainers at West Point, trainers who worked with cadets who were under their care. spent some considerable time with these trainers and then afterward had some conversations. And one of the things that he heard from the trainers at West Point was, I wish our cadets understood that they could ask us for what they need. Isn't that interesting? What if we were to imagine the work of the church as a work that takes place on a battlefield? It doesn't take that much imagination, does it? The power of evil is so at work in our day. We've seen it again this week in Paris, haven't we? We've seen it, if you've been following the stories in Nigeria, we've seen it again. We've seen violence and hatred and wickedness and poverty that is pushing against people's lives and demeaning them. The power of evil is at work today as much as it has ever been. What if we were to imagine the work of the church as a work that is taking place on a battlefield? Our director, our leader is Jesus himself. And the weapons of our warfare are his. That's important. The weapons of our warfare are the same as his. The weapons of our warfare are love. And what if we were to imagine the church going out and carrying on this battle for love? And as we do, we ask God for whatever we need. Lord, I don't think I have the courage to do this today. I don't have the courage to stand up for what's true in my workplace unless you help me. Give me the courage that I need today. Lord, there are people who are deeply wounded. Their lives are wounded. Their bodies are bent. They are sick and they are in need. We pray for your power of healing to be with them. Would this line up with God's healing purposes in the world? I think it would. What if we prayed for our children, for our parents? What if our prayers for our children and our parents were to lift them to the Father's throne, to pray for God's healing, empowerment, and courage, and guidance in their lives? Does this line up with people who have the word of Jesus living in them, even as we abide in Christ? I suspect that it does. You'll notice that I haven't answered all of the questions this morning. There are so many. Why is it that some of our prayers see extraordinary response while others don't? And all I can tell you is I don't know. But I do know that Jesus invited disciples to ask. It was his invitation. So I heard about this church back east where people in the congregation caught a vision of how prayer might influence them and their church. So when their board meeting began meeting on a regular basis, instead of offering a perfunctory prayer at the beginning of the meeting, Lord, bless the decisions that we make today, the way many churches do, this group set aside a time of quietness. They listened in the stillness, and then they began to intercede for their church and their community to ask whatever they would. And then they would get to their work together. Their small groups and their Sunday school classes and their various settings would begin all of their settings with times of quietness and prayer. They begin to imagine themselves as partners with God in changing their own lives and changing the world. You see, when we think of prayer this way, the split between being active and being prayerful no longer exists. It is active people who are asking, and it's people who are asking who are active in the name of love. Here's a vision for the powerful practice of prayer, and I hope that you will find ways to work it out in your life this week. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we ask you to grant to us a vision of a future that is open and a future that can be changed when we learn to pray. Give us the courage of little children who worry less about getting prayer right and are concerned more about prayer being genuine and honest and true. Fill us with the power of your Spirit. Help us to have the courage of those who intercede and act. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.